Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm back in the USA for just a little bit, about 6 weeks, and I've been blessed by having some good weather here, nice warm days, and so I appreciate that. Also, the opportunity just to see my farm and to clean things up a little bit, enjoy the blessings of being in the USA. We're going to talk about politics, and beloved, it's the same here in America as it is in Kenya. Politics dominate the news cycles. Politics dominate the headlines. In Kenya, we have a president, Uhuru Kenyatta, who is actually the son of the first president of Kenya. When Kenya received their independence back in the 60s, Jomo Kenyatta was the first president of the nation, or the Republic of Kenya. And now his son, Uhuru Kenyatta, is the president of Kenya. So it's a bit like America. We have political families here, the Bushes, the Clintons, and we have political families also in Kenya. And I think it's that way all over the world. Well, Psalm 2 addresses the kings of the earth. And this is a very appropriate place to start when we're talking about politics and faith. And so we look at Psalm 2, and it says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?" Verse 2, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Well, let me just stop there and say the kings of the earth, for the most part, represent the people that they represent, and the people that they represent are not always the most godly people. They're not always the most straightforward people. In Kenya, we have a country that is immersed in corruption. Everywhere you look, there's corruption. The government people are stealing from the people. The people are stealing from each other. And so the kings of the earth, for the most part, are not godly people. The kings of the earth are not, for the most part, bowing their knee to Jesus. And David, King David, knew that. Well, King David was immersed in politics. He was not only the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, but he was also the king of the nation. And so as we think about that, many people in America say, well, Christians, you shouldn't be involved in politics. You should just stick to the Bible and stick to preaching and stick to praying, and don't get your hands dirty with politics. Don't get yourself all mired down in the activities of the politicians. Well, beloved, in America, we are the people. We are the government. We are the people charged by the Constitution, by the Declaration of Independence, by the Bill of Rights. We are the people who are responsible for the government. We don't hire people from outside this country to come in and run this country. We are the people. We have been ordained and charged by God not only to read the Bible, not only to pray, not only to take care of the widow and the orphan. We are charged by God and ordained by God to be we the people, the government of America. And so it's very important that we not only watch politics, it's not only admonition and an encouragement for us to watch politics, but we are to get involved in politics. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to run for some office. That's not what I'm saying. But to think that all you have to do is pray and all you have to do is read your Bible and go to church and you can't sully and get your hands dirty in the politics of the day. What is politics? It's just policies of the people of the country. It's policies about how the people want to take care of themselves and how the people want to take care of their communities and their country. If you don't want to get involved in politics, you have no right to say anything about the affairs of your nation. Why bother to even vote if you don't want to get involved in politics? You have to vote. We the people are in charge of this nation. Do you want to just turn this nation over to the devil and let him have everything? I don't think so. I don't want to. And it's the same in Kenya. We don't want the devil to run Kenya. We want the godly people to stand up, to go to the polls, and to create the policy and determine the direction of the nation. And so that's what David is saying here. He's saying that the kings, for the most part, take counsel together. They conspire together. They confide in each other against the Lord and His anointed. Well, His anointed is none other than Jesus Christ. And we know that the Lord is in charge of all things. The Lord is the one who has the final say. The Lord is the one that has the determining vote in raising up every king. In Kenya, we sing a song. It's called Who Has the Final Say? And all the Christians sing it in their churches. The song goes like this. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. And so they acknowledge that God's vote is the determining vote. God's vote is the one who declares the winner. And so it was very shocking, I'm sure, to many people that Donald Trump was lifted up, raised up to be the president of the United States of America. But it was not a shock to God, because He has the final say. He has the final vote. And some people say, well, that was just a vote of the flesh. That was just people who have been deceived and people who were tricked. And people are too stupid to know any better, and they don't know what's good for them. Well, I don't think so, beloved. I think God has the final say, and He raised up, along with the people who voted for Donald Trump, He raised him up to be president of the United States. And so He is our president, just as Barack Obama was president before him. So it says here in verse 3, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And so the kings are conspiring to get rid of the restraints that God places upon them. The kings are conspiring to do some very ugly things, some very wicked things. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It's been going on since 1776 here in America, although for the most part, America has had some very godly leaders and some very humble leaders, men who have really cared about the people of this country, and that's what sets America apart from other nations of the world. That's why people from all corners of the world want to come to America. When I preach in churches in Kenya, I ask the people, how many of you would like to go to America? And every single hand shoots up. Everybody wants to come to America. And I've been in places all over the world, and it's the same story everywhere. Everyone wants to come to America because they see America as a beacon of hope, a land of opportunity. There's a reason why thousands and thousands of people have risked their lives to come in through the southern border of America. It's because they see America as the land of opportunity, a beacon of hope, a place where they can make some money, a place where they can have freedom, a place where they can raise their families in safety. And so people from all over the world attempt to get here because America is the shining star. It is the beacon. It is the city on a hill. And that is God's will. He ordained this country. If you look in the founding documents of this country, they were all documents that gave homage to God, that gave honor to God. And so we are ordained as a nation. We haven't done everything perfect. We haven't done everything just exactly like God wanted, but we were ordained as a nation to be a city on a hill, to be a beacon of light to the whole world. The greatest missionary sending nation in the whole world is the United States of America. It has been since its inception, and it is still today. And I thank God for that, because I'm a recipient of that attitude. I'm a recipient of that blessing to be a missionary sent out from this great nation. Well, verse 4, it says here that God, He who sits in the heavens, He laughs. In other words, He laughs at the conspiring of the kings of the earth. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Well, there he's speaking about Jesus Christ. Jesus was known to David. David had revelation of Jesus Christ. Although Jesus didn't appear on this earth for hundreds of years, thousands of years after King David, David knew of him. He had revelation of him. And so he says in verse 6, God has set his king on his holy hill of Zion. And he is talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Verse 7, another prophetic declaration here, a prophetic verse. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, that is, God has said to me, Jesus, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. That is a powerful verse, beloved. Verse 8, ask of me. In other words, God is saying to Jesus, ask of me, and I will give you, Jesus, the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Well, beloved, it is God's will that the nations of the earth serve him. It is God's will that the nations of the earth be sheep nations and not goat nations. In the final day, Matthew 25, God will separate, Jesus will separate the goat nations from the sheep nations. I pray that the United States of America will be a sheep nation. I pray that the United States of America will be a nation that can proudly say in the end day, on that day, in God we trust. And it's not just words written on our money, but it's something we actually believe. It's something we actually adhere to, and we raise up as a standard for the other nations of the world. In God we trust. In Jehovah God we trust. And beloved, that is up to you. It is up to me. It is up to each and every one of us to raise up Jehovah God, to raise up Jesus Christ, to see his name lifted high here in this nation, to see his name lifted high in our schools, to see his name lifted high in our churches and on the radio broadcasts, the television broadcasts. It is God's will that we raise up the nations, this nation, to honor and to serve Jesus Christ. Verse 7 again, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. God wants to give every nation to Jesus Christ, his son, for his inheritance. And so that is the reason missionaries go out. That is the reason we sacrifice. We leave our families. We leave those that we love. We leave those that are very dear and near to us. And we leave those things that are comforting to us, those things that we cherish. The hardest thing for me in leaving America, besides leaving my family, I have four children and four grandchildren. And then after that, the hardest thing was to leave my mother and leave my brothers and sisters and leave my farm. This farm that I own has been in my family for 75 years or more. And it is a very peaceful place for me. It's my little bit of heaven on earth. And so it was very difficult for me to leave this place. I had been here since 1984 farming this place. And so it was very difficult. And I love to be out on the land. I love to be out there hoeing weeds and planting the vegetable crops, planting wheat. And yet God gave me a piece of land over in Kenya after I gave up this piece of land and said, okay, Lord, here am I, send me. God gave me a piece of land over there in Kenya, and he has allowed me to do the same thing over there, to plant seeds. We planted just recently 4 acres. We do it all by hand, groundnuts and beans, maize, watermelons, and also we plant Sukuma Wiki, which is kale. Just like the American farmers are all getting excited about planting kale, we too plant kale over there in Kenya. And so as a missionary sending nation, America wants to send missionaries to every nation in the world. I know missionaries in Muslim countries, in Turkey and in Iraq, Iran, and in Libya and in Egypt and New Zealand, nations all over the world, missionaries from America are there spreading the gospel. It's not an easy task. It's not something they chose to do necessarily. God appointed them and then they made the choice. But it just like me with Kenya. Kenya would not have been the first choice of a place for me to go to. It's a very difficult place to live. There's a lot of violence there. There's a lot of crazy people. The food is not anything I get too excited about. There's I don't know how many billion of mosquitoes there. I don't know how many times I've been bitten. Praise God, I have not had malaria yet, but as a general rule, I get bit by mosquitoes every single day, and so you just have to learn to live with those things. But when you're serving Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, you give thanks for everything. You give thanks, and I praise God that He has kept me safe, that He has protected me, that I've been under the shadow of His wings, and I praise God that this day I am still going back to Kenya, and this day I am still thankful and grateful for all the great and mighty things that God has done through my life in reaching the nations of the earth. Well, what does the Bible say to Christians about what we are to do for the kings who God places over us? There's some pretty specific things that we are to do. First of all, we are to pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, this is the Apostle Paul, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Well, what's he saying here? It doesn't matter whether the person that is in authority over you is of the same party. Yes, I know we get very excited and very rabid about getting our own candidate in there, and that's good. God wants you to be involved. He wants you to be excited about it. But when a candidate of the other party gets in, he still wants you to pray for that person. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And so when there's somebody in authority that you don't agree with, somebody in authority maybe that you didn't vote for, and it could be a mayor, it could be a city councilman, it could be the governor, a senator, a representative, could be the president of the United States, they all need our prayer. They all need our intercession. They all need our supplication. Supplication is a plea for mercy. And so it doesn't matter in the long run whether that person is of your party or whether you voted to put that person in. We are together here as Americans. We are united. This is the United States of America. And if America is going to get beyond this bitter acrimony, this bitter hatred of each other and all of the bitterness and division that's in this country, if America is going to get beyond that and really be the great country that God wants it to be, we're going to have to learn to forgive each other. We're going to have to learn to work with each other, no matter what color the people are, no matter what side of the track they're on, no matter what race or neighborhood they came from. We're going to have to learn to work together, to pull each other up, to bless each other, to help each other. I have a brother, a friend who just went up there to Beatrice, Nebraska, up there in southeast Nebraska, where they had so much flooding and devastation from the big floods up there. And he worked with Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's ministry, that came in there and they totally gutted out many homes and replaced the sheetrock, replaced the carpeting, replaced the siding on the walls, and they did all of that free of charge to the homeowners, and they said, We're here to bless you in the name of Jesus. We're here to give you some help. We're here to raise you up and to encourage you in the name of Jesus. And my brother that went there, he was just overwhelmed, not just to the fact that he could work for the Lord, but just to see all these people coming in from all over the country, give up their time, give up their money, give up their resources, and come in from all over the country to help these people get over those devastating floods. And beloved, that's what we need to do here in America. We need to pray for those who are in authority over us. Pray for your local officials, your police, your sheriff, your councilman, your mayor. Pray for your governor, your representatives, your senators. Pray for Donald Trump. He is our president. You know, when Barack Obama was president, I prayed for Obama because I was very familiar with how the people of Kenya loved him. When Obama was elected president, the people of Kenya just rejoiced. It lifted the countenance of everybody in Kenya. They were so proud of Barack Obama. And so I prayed for him. I interceded for him. He was not necessarily my first choice for president, but I prayed for him and I interceded for him that God would raise him up and make him a better president and make him the man God wanted him to be. And that is God's desire. You may not like Donald Trump. He's not the most cordial person for a lot of people. He's a bit coarse. He's a bit brash. And there's some things in his past that haven't been the best. Well, we all have that in our past as well. Donald Trump's not unique in that sense. But God calls us to pray for them. Pray for the man, Donald Trump, not just for the president, not just that he can make wise decisions, but pray for the man, Donald Trump, that he can bow his knee to God, that he can pray to God, and that Jesus Christ can truly become everything to him, that his knee will bow to Jesus, that he will know Jesus, that he will have a heart after God and a heart after Jesus Christ. Donald Trump, the man, is a very complex man. He's very wealthy, and it is difficult for wealthy people to come into the kingdom of God. Over the years, Donald Trump, I'm sure, has depended on his wealth and pushed people around a lot. But God's will is that he be predestined to be ordained and conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That is God's will for Donald Trump. That is God's will for every single person that is going to be president of the United States. And we have many candidates that are announcing their run for presidency. Donald Trump is going to be running again, I'm sure. And so it's going to be very interesting. But they all need our prayers, and they all need our supplication and our intercession and our giving of thanks. Well, Peter, 1 Peter 2:17 says this: honor all men, love the brotherhood, that is the brotherhood of Christ. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we give honor to the king, and we bless the king in the name of Jesus. We bless the king, because when we bless the king, when the king makes good decisions, when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. And so if you want to have a country where there is peace, where there is love, where there is people getting along with each other and cooperating with each other and helping each other, it starts by praying for those in authority over you. Well, I'm going to close today by reading an excerpt from a small Bible that was given to me by my father. And he took this little Bible with him to Guam. On the first page, it says, to Lyman Rao, 1944, I carried this to Guam in my Navy sea bag. And so my father carried this when he was a young man. He was enlisted in the U.S. Navy in World War II, and he carried this little Bible with him to Guam when he served in the Navy over there in the Pacific. And on the next page, it says, from the White House in Washington, D.C., January 25th, 1941. To the Armed Forces, as Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the Armed Forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a fountain of strength, and now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul. Very sincerely yours, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States. Well, beloved, God cares about this nation. God cares about our presidents. God cares about every man, woman, and child in this nation. God cares about every man, woman, and child all over the earth. And that is why He has given us the task to pray. Sometimes He gives us the task to run for office. Sometimes He gives us the task to serve our politicians in different ways. And so that is God's will, that the United States of America, in God we trust, be a city on a hill, a beacon of light to the world. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Stay tuned for contact information.